Shalom, Evroche. We went through the whole sphere kemat in our special atmosphere, each one in his base mikdash ma'at, in his house. And we're going to say a shir today, which is Nogea to Chag HaShavuos, Habor Aleinu L'Toyva. Kayadua, Chag HaShavuos is a yontif. It has all the halachas of yontif. Other than that, there are no real special halachas for Shavuos. There are menhagim, as far as eating the machol lecholov, eating milk products. Kamuvan, you can't eat milk and meat together, even on Shavuos. Those that have a minig, though, that they do eat in one meal, milchiks and fleishiks, we do separate the two. We don't eat them in the same meal. But if you have such a minig, it's an acceptable minig. And what you have to do is you take out a bread, you wash on it and eat milchiks, and then you take off that bread and switch the tablecloth and everything else and rinse out your mouth, eat a piece of bread, and take out a new bread for the fleishik part and finish off the meal. I'll call upon him. Today we want to speak about a special halacha, which is Nogia this year, Erev Tavshilin. In Chutz La'aretz, Erev Tavshilin is very common, and Eretz Yisrael is much less common since we don't have 2 days of Yontif. But now we do have that opportunity, since Shavuos can come out on a Friday, so we have this issue of cooking from Friday to Shabbos, which requires an Erev Tavshilin. So we're going to go over the background, and then we're going to go to the halacha l'maaseh. So, on Yontif itself, there's a heter of oichel nefesh. You're allowed to cook anything you need. Not only that, it's not like on Shabbos, there's a malacha boirer that you have to do boirer somach l'sudah, you have to do the boirer immediately before you eat. Any time on Yontif, you're allowed to cook for any other time on Yontif. So I could already at night cook for the morning meal or for the afternoon meal. But question is about cooking or doing any other type of preparations from Yontif to the day afterwards. So here is Machlokes Amoraim. The Gemara Pesachim brings that if a person cooks from Yontif to a weekday, he's Oichel Nisa D'Oraisa. Why? Because the heter is Oichel Nefesh for Yontif, but if you're cooking not for Yontif, Issa D'Oraisa. On the other hand, he holds that if you're cooking from Yontif to Shabbos, it's not an Issa D'Oraisa. What's the idea behind it? Even though the heter of Oichel Nefesh is for Yontif, the logic behind this is that Yontif is also a type of Kedusha, and Shabbos is a type of Kedusha, Shneim Kedusha Achas. Even though Shabbos is more cold, you're not allowed to cook on it. But the heter of cooking for Yontif includes cooking for any type of Kedusha, including Shabbos, which is even a greater Kedusha. That's his opinion. Rabbi disagrees with him, and Rabbi says no, that even if you cook from Yontif L'Chol, you're not going to get Malkus. The question is, why not? The whole heter of Oichel Nefesh is to cook on Yontif itself, so why would you not get Malkus if you cook from Yontif for a weekday? So he says it's a Svara, which affects the Din D'Oraisa. That theoretically, in a chanam, if you cook from Yontif L'Chol, it will be Nisa D'Oraisa. But practically speaking, there's a concept called Hoyil. But since potentially it can't be used on Yontif, if guests show up, you'll have what to feed them. Therefore, it's not unequivocally cooked for Motzei Yontif. It can be used on Yontif, and therefore it's also included in the heter of cooking on Yontif. Kamuvan, there'll be an afkamina according to this. Even Rabbah that says that there's no Issa D'Oraisa to cook from Yontif L'Chol, he would admit that if you cook in the last minute of Yontif and it'll be ready to be eaten just as Yontif is going out, then it'll be Issa D'Oraisa because there's no way of anybody eating on Yontif. So even though you finished cooking it on Yontif, but since there's no potential for it to be eaten on Yontif, it will be an Issa D'Oraisa. That's one thing. Now, on the other hand, according to Rava, that says that there's no Issa D'Oraisa of cooking on Yontif because cooking from Yontif L'Chol because you can potentially use it on Yontif. He, on the other hand, does hold that there's an Issa to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. it's a doraisa. In other words, he holds heter orchel nefesh is specifically to be eaten on yontif itself, but it's going to be eaten on the day after yontif. Even though that day happens to be yom kodesh, happens to be Shabbos, even so, you never cook from yontif to Shabbos. You only cook it for simchas yontif itself. So now let's just summarize what we have seen so far. Let's get back to our case. Cooking from yontif to Shabbos. We're going to come at machlokes like this. That Rav Chisda holds that if you're cooking from yontif to Shabbos, it should be permitted. It should be permitted because you're allowed to cook from yontif to Shabbos. There's no issue d'oraisa. Whereas Rabbi says that no, if you're cooking from yontif to Shabbos, it should be issue d'oraisa, but lamaisa is not issue d'oraisa because you have this svar of oil. As according to Rabbi, there's no difference between cooking from yontif to Shabbos or cooking for yontif to a weekday. You can only cook for yontif itself. But even so, whether you're cooking for Shabbos or you're cooking for a weekday, you'll still not be over issue d'oraisa because you have this svar of oil. You could potentially use it on yontif itself. So now let's get back to what we want to talk about, Erev Tavshilim. So, question is, why do you need Erev Tavshilim if we have these Heterim? According to Rav Chisda, we said that he holds you're allowed to be Mevashel from Yontif to Shabbos. So, what do you need Erev Tavshilim for? The Gemara says that you should not need Erev Tavshilim. The reason why you need Erev Tavshilim is because, since if you would be cooking, if we're going to permit you to cook from Yontif to any other day, even though now I have a heter because from Yontif to Shabbos, and Shabbos is also Kodesh. But if people are going to start saying, you know, the Rabbanim permit us to cooking from Yontif to the next day, they may inadvertently or for whatever reason it is make a mistake and cook also from Yontif Lechoyr, and they'll be over Issa Deraisa. So to prevent that mistake, they said you can never cook from Yontif the day afterwards unless you make a special takana called Erev Tavshilin. If you don't make a takana Erev Tavshilin, you cannot cook to the next day. So that is, once again, Rav Chisda's opinion. That Me'ikah Din you should be able to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. And the only reason why they answered it with an Erev Tavshilin is so people should know there's a special heter of Shabbos. But to cook from Yontif Lechoyr, you cannot do. Once you make your Erev Tavshilin, Lechoyr, according to his opinion, there's no limitations. Now you can cook, because as long as you made a heker, that there's something special about Yontif to Shabbos, people won't mistakenly cook from Yontif Lechoyr, and you can cook any time on Yontif Lechoyr Shabbos. That's his opinion. But according to Rav Chisda, the logic is very different. He says you don't have to make a gzeir from Yontif to Chol, Yontif to Shabbos. There's no difference between the two. Just like you're not allowed to cook for Yontif to Chol, now cook for Yontif to Shabbos. Just what? And there's another reason why it should be permitted, because of this svar of Chol. Since I could potentially use it on Yontif, therefore that in itself is the reason to say even if I'm cooking from Yontif to Chol, should be mutter. Oh, so what do you mean Erev Tavshilim according to Rabbi, who says that we have the setter of Hoyul. Oh, so here it's not clear why we need Erev Tavshilim. Lamaisa, the Gemara in Beitza discusses why you need Erev Tavshilim. So Rav over there says as far that it's not because we're concerned you're going to cook from Yontif to Chol, Yontif to Shab, from Yontif to Chol, because like we said, according to Rabbi, there's no special reason about cooking from Yontif to Shabbos or Yontif to Chol, because the dinner of the two of them are the same anyway. So what is the reason? It's to make sure and ensure that a person is going to set aside good food for Shabbos. In other words, according to Rav Chisda, the Gemara explained that the reason why we need Erev Tavshilin is nothing to do with cooking for Shabbos. It's to prevent a person from not cooking for Chol. But as far as the Shabbos Suda, they didn't take that into account. But according to this Rav Asher, which is comparable to Rava, this is a different reason. And a Chanami, it's like Zay is going to cook to Chol. We're not concerned about that. A different reason. We want to make sure you will cook for Shabbos. We don't want people working hard on Yontif, and they cooked good food for Yontif, and suddenly they chop, oops, Shabbos is here, I forgot to cook for Shabbos. So they made a special heker. Before you start your Yontif, put aside Erev Tavshilim. What's the logic of the Erev Tavshilim according to everybody? The logic of the Eved Shilin is I already started my Shabbos cooking before Yontif, and now I'm continuing my Shabbos cooking. And this works according to both Shitas. If the reason why they made the takon is so I should remind myself to cook for Shabbos, so I reminded myself, I already started cooking for Shabbos, I'm not going to forget, I'm in the middle of cooking for Shabbos. If it's because we want to make zeir, people shouldn't cook from Yontif to Chol. So also, we made a heker, you're already involved in your Shabbos cooking. There's something special about Shabbos cooking, which we're permitting you now. And so on Shabbos cooking, you may have Tashil to show that this is Shabbos cooking. I'm making special preparations of Kovod Shabbos already from before. And therefore, people will not come to cook from Yom Tov Lachor. Now, so the lights after everything said and done, everybody agrees that you have to make your Tashilin. There's one very major nafkamina between the two shitas, is that we know that Erev Tav Shilin is not magic to the Matan Issa Deraisa, it can only be Matan Issa Derabbanan. So according to the opinion that there's no Issa Deraisa to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, it's simple. But the whole thing is Xavier, maybe you're going to come to cook from Shabbos to Yom Tov, from Yom Tov to Chol. And maybe we make Erev Tav Shilin and people know this is a special heter for Elektzoil Shabbos. According to this, let's say, a very common thing, a person forgot to put things, to cook things for Kovod Shabbos, and he reminded himself a half hour before Shabbos. He could start cooking in the last minute. There's no problem in the last minute, because as long as he made his heker, miksara, then you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. The problem is that we have the other opinion of Rabbah, and Rabbah said that you're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and the only reason why it's permitted with the rice is because you're leaving yourself enough time to eat it on Yom Tov itself if guests come. According to this, it will come out if you want to put up a chulent. If you put it up a half hour before, sometimes it could be even 2 hours before. But if your chulent will not be edible by the end of Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Yopin Oifin, it's a deraisa. Because you're not, the rice you're now cooked from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And the only reason why you are allowed is because it was edible before the end of Yom Tov, so it's potentially usable in Yom Tov. So according to this opinion, we have to be very careful that any cooking we're doing, or even reheating, if something cooled off and you want to reheat it and it will stay cold in the course of Yom Tov, just heat up after Shabbos, we paskin to reheat something which is lach, which is liquid, also has a problem with bishul, that'll be also. So Lemaisa, how do we paskin? So many paskin, Morgan Avram and others, that we paskin like Rabbah, which means that the only heter of the Erev Tav Shilin is the food that you're cooking with the Erev Tav Shilin is edible on Yom Tov itself. So this is something very important for all of us. We're making the Erev Tav Shilin wonderful. But even so, we have to make sure that the food is edible already before the end of Yom Tov.
What is, Rabbi, what is edible? Is edible a Marco Ben Dusai?
That's a good question. L'chaira Marco Ben Dusai should be enough, because as long as it's something that a normal person could eat, even though it's Ali Dei Trak, that should be enough. Yeah, that's a good point, but in other words, he can't be nene from it on Yom Tov. And Marco Ben Dusai is something that a person can eat. I think you're right. Yeah, very good. But you know, like a chulent, you put it up in the last minute, the beans are not edible at all. The meat is still raw. It could take a while till it becomes even Machab and Jesuit. So that is, Now the Mishnah, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that in the Chanami, if you're starting too late, it's also, there's no head to finish. The Mishnah Ruah Be'etzem, he says that B'Shas HaTchak is what to rely on the other opinions that say that the heter is that you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And if you were late in putting up your chulent, there's what to rely on. But once again, this is a heter b'doichak, and we should try as much as we can to avoid that. So once again, even though we are making the Erev Tav Shilin, we should do it in a way that the food is edible beforehand. Now, this brings up another big problem. We know that the Erev Tav Shilin that we make We also say in the Nusach of Eiv Tavshila, and it's good to understand the Nusach. If you don't understand, to get it translated from okay, in the art scroll, how you do it. Yeah, maybe we should put up on the email a translation. Anyway, I'm sure everyone will figure it out. But when we make the Eiv Tavshila, one of the things we mentioned in the Eiv Tavshila is it's not only for cooking and baking, it's also for lighting candles, which is something we do. We light candles from Yom Tov to Shabbos. That's Shabbos candles. Now here we run into a big problem, Bizman Hazeh. In the olden days, when they lit Shabbos candles, or any candles, the Be'etzim, it was something that they were Nena and Yontif also. Because as it was getting close to nightfall, but it was still before actual nightfall, it started getting darker inside of the houses. And since it was getting darker in the houses, if you light a candle even on Friday for Shabbos, but on Friday itself you're being Nena because it's adding light to the darkening household as the sun is setting, even before the sun sets. So you have this Svar of Hoyle. But because Lefid the Metzias today is Shabbos candles, the whole Shabbos candles is a big chiddush that we're doing it even. Because we're really not doing the original takana. The original takana was the Shabbos candles were the things that illuminated the entire room. Here the room is well illuminated. We're just doing this ceremony or adding some cover to the table, adding some extra light in the meal by the Shabbos candles. But Be'etzim, we have enough light from electricity itself. There are people that have a minig b'met that when they light the Shabbos candles, they also turn off the electricity and turn it on again so that it all should be part of the Shabbos candles. But Mikud didn't want Amachuyiv to do that. That's during the rest of the year. The question is, on Yom Tov, how do we get past this? Why on Yom Tov am I allowed to light Shabbos candles? Haray, if we need this Svara of Hoyo, that is, I'm getting some benefit on Yom Tov. Nowadays, I have the electricity on. So Lamaisa, I'm not going to get any benefit from it on Yom Tov itself, only on Shabbos. So once again, if we, B'Shas Atchak, we have the Mishnah Berurah saying we can't rely on opinions that even if I'm not benefiting from Yom Tov, I could rely on the Erev Tavshila. But that's an interesting thing that everyone's relying on the Shas Atchak. It's not Mishnah. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Zichrono Livracha Oilbach had a big chiddush. He said today that it's such a big deal. Every Jewish woman goes out of her way to make sure she lights the candles. She's misspelled by the candles. It became an independent minig of Hadlokas Neiris, even more than the Ikir Chiv. And therefore, since now is the time to do this minig Yisrael of lighting Shabbos candles, that in itself is a tzorech hayontov. It's a tzorech for now. Because now on Yontov is the time to do this thing. So even though the idea of the candle lighting is for Shabbos, but I want to do it now. That's part of my Simchas Yom Tov, my Hanhogas of Yom Tov is towards the end of Yom Tov to light Shabbos candles because that's the time. A big chiddush, that's his way out of it. We know, by the way, also it's Nogea to Yotzeit candles. It's a similar concept, but it's not Nogea from Shabbos to Yom Tov, it's Nogea on Yom Tov itself. One should light Yotzeit candles before Yom Tov because Yotzeit candles are really candles that are not made to be used other than for the Yotzeit itself. And to stam light a candle that has no use other than that minig, many should say it's prohibited because you're not really using it for Eichel Nefesh or any type of Tzorech HaGuf. Even over here, the Mishnah Berurah says a Chiddush that a president really takes the Yotzeit candle serious and it's very hard for them to go through the Yontif for that, lighting the Yotzeit candle. He says there is what to rely on to light it on Yontif itself, based on this idea also of it's a minig choshev, and that gives a heter. So it's a similar idea to what we're saying with Shabbos. The bottom line is, Shabbos candles, lachatchila, kamuvan, you're allowed to light even on Yontif, even though we're asking questions on it. Some people have a chumra that they put on the Shabbos clock that for that period of time the electricity goes off. So when the lighting, in other words, towards the, let's say you light your candles of whatever time it is, let's say you light your candles at 7:15. So they put on the Shabbos clock that from 7:15 to 8 o'clock the lighting in the living room was off, and then your mom is using the Shabbos candles at that point of time. It doesn't even have to be for that long. It can be for a half hour. But once again, that's a chumrah. Mikra Din, you're allowed to light Shabbos candles. Yeah, as far as preparing the Shabbos candles, so as much as you can prepare before Yontif, you should prepare before Yontif. If there's wicks or remnants of the what you lit the previous time, those things are mukse, and you should, if they're not usable, which very often you have little pieces that stuck onto it that are not usable, you should be moitzi at kilach yad, use the end of a fork or a spoon or something to scoop it out and get rid of it. But lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, once again, the Shabbos candles, you are allowed to light with Erev Tav Shilin. And the Yotzeit candle, one should do his best to remember to light it before Yontif. If he forgets, and it's very important to him, he has what to rely on. If he could light in a place that will benefit from the light, then it's even better. Kamavan, not to put in a dangerous place. Yeah, now, just the basics of making the Erev Tav Shilin, it's Kedai to put up a notice on your refrigerator already now. Not to forget it. Every individual is mechuyev to make Erev Tav Shilin if they're planning to cook food or warm up food. The Erev Tav Shilin is comprised of two halves. It's the baked goods and the cooked goods. Now, it's important to know that the cooked goods over here doesn't mean cooked in reverse to baked. It means baked, and which is the bread that one eats, and something that's eaten together with the bread. So that's where the minute comes from. Of some people use an egg, and lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says it's even better to use a more choshev, a piece of chicken or meat. Kamavan, you have to put in the refrigerator if you're doing that. That's a hidden mitzvah. The reason why people use an egg is because they know for sure that it has the right size. I mean, the minimum size of Erev Tav Shilin has to be a food the size of a gazayis. If you have a beitzah, you know for sure we have the size. There's a betzah malachilchila to have the size of a beitzah. So if you have a beitzah, you definitely have the size of a beitzah.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, sure.
What about if person forget to do Erev Tav Shilin?
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Once I just finish how to do it. Now, okay. If it's talk with that, it's important also to know. It's always good to know the b'di'evit that. Once again, we said that the lechatchila should have the size of an egg, but you have the size of an olive, of cooked things that would be eaten together with the bread. So, for example, somebody's going to use a matzah ball. A matzah ball is not good, even though it's cooked, because it's not something you eat with the bread. That is or porridge is not good. But fish, chicken, meat, eggs, those type of things that are eaten together with the bread, those are the things. The tavshil. We paskin to lechatchila do it with the bread and with the tavshil also. But b'di'evit, if you did it without the bread, it's kosher. The thing that is most important over here is the cooked item. You have to have a cooked item. You have to be also careful that if you're putting a cooked item, one of the models of a egg, if it's well cooked, is it won't spoil so quickly if it's outside. But whether you're using an egg or chicken or fish or whatever it is, you have to make sure it's preserved, because if it spoils, if you forgot it outside and it spoils in the course of the night, and you want to cook in the morning, it's already spoiled, doesn't help. The egg of tashil has to be intact still at the time that you are doing your cooking or whatever else you're doing. Once it's not around anymore, you cannot continue relying on it. Yeah, so, Michael asked, what happens if you forget? So number one is don't forget. Number two is if you did forget, so the rabbi of every town makes a special Erev Tav Shilin for the people that forgot. One has to know that if a person was just negligent, it doesn't help. If a person, for whatever reason, got caught up with things and forgot, it helps. But it also helps only one time. If you forgot previously and you forget the second time, it won't help you. So if you forgot once in the past and you forgot a second time, you cannot rely on the Erev Tav Shilin of the Rav. And then you have to tell Shaila what to do. And the easiest way is to just get food from the neighbor. But if that's not possible, there are different eitzes what to do. One of the eitzes is to be makne your food to the neighbor and have them cook it. Once again, we try very much to avoid this. Like I said, the more common case, or or equally common case of not only a person that is also, if a person did not forget to make the Erev Tavshilin, but he did not forget to make the Erev Tavshilin, but something happened to his Erev Tavshilin. It's also important if you put your Erev Tavshilin in the refrigerator, make some siman on it, because if someone eats it by accident, also you cannot rely on it anymore. That's it's finished. So you can have to once again rely on the Erev Tavshilin of the Rav in such a situation. As far as using the Erev Tavshilin, there's a whole big discussion if it's only for cooking, warming up things, and lighting the candles. What about washing dishes? So generally, we say you're not supposed to wash dishes from one day to the next. L'maisa lo l'maisa, one can rely on the opinions that one can wash dishes on Yontif L'Tor Shabbos. Kamuvan, l'chadchila, you should do it also early in the day, not in the last minute, so that they potentially themselves. There's another minig also that the Erev Tavshilin, since we use it for the mitzvah of the Erev Tavshilin, it's nice to use it for another mitzvah, which the minig is to use it for Lechem Mishneh for Suda Shlishis. Now, once again, you have your egg or your chicken or whatever, plus your bread. The egg can be the egg or the chicken. You do not have to wait for Suda Shlishis. You could eat it at the first meal because you're using it for Suda Shabbos. So you can ask me, so what's the difference between the bread and the egg? Why do the bread we wait all the way for Suda Shlishis, and why don't we use it for the first meal? So the truth is, in the Magen Avraham, the sources of this, they say like this: that same you can use them both for the first meal. The reason why it's preferable to use this bread for the third meal is because we use it for every single meal. Every time you have a meal, you have lechem mishnah. So use this lechem of the challah of the Erev Tavshilin. Use it for the first meal as a second challah, the second meal as a second challah, the third meal, then you eat it. That's a classic way of doing it, even though very few people do that. And this is just nice things to do. It's not the Nam Akiv, but it is a proper thing to eat the Erev Tavshilin in the course of Shabbos. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we should be able to have all these wonderful inyanim, the Simchas Yontov itself, and the Kovod Shabbos afterwards. It's a special two-day Yontov here in Eretz Yisrael. We go Michayel L'Choyol from one Kedusha to the next. And we should all have a wonderful, wonderful Chag Matan Teiraseinu. We are a little bechina of being in a midbar, we're detached from the world a little bit, to everybody, to some more and some less over the past few months. Another rather, the idea of the midbar, part of the mile of the midbar is when you're in the world that is built up, you get a little bit distracted by all those things that is built up and overly impressed by them, and then take you away from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem, I think we've all been doing that, focusing on Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should continue. Yes, Hashem, tizayich etav. A wonderful Yontif, and as we know, to Yom Adin, a year of tremendous, tremendous Siyat HaShemaya for our personal growth. The Ruchni is the growth of the Kila and of all Klal Yisrael. Shem Zeichet the Gulev, the Yeshuas.
Amen.
Shkoyach, everybody.
Yeah. Amen. Rabbi, can I just ask you one more question?
Yeah.
On the time the person forgot, and it's the second time, and when a person forgot, he forgot, and it was his second time, you said there were eitzes to be makneh the food.
Yeah.
The choyer, it won't help for the hadlekas neiris, right?
Oh, you're saying with hadlekas neiris, you'd have a problem. So the truth is, it says that if there's no etzer, the etzer says you let a light one candle, but the choyer is referring to the candle when you really need it for lighting, not for just for the mitzvah of hadlekas neiris.
Okay. Shkoyach. Thank you.
Yeah. Make sure not to forget. Okay. Cool. So.